Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you this morning. Thankful that God woke me up and blessed to be a child of God. And so grateful that he chose me for this assignment, to read his word, to teach his word, and to hopefully live his word. God's word is true today, true yesterday, and it will be true forevermore. So as we go forward today, the word that God gave me very early this morning was this. And it comes out of our scripture today, our Hebrew word, our New Testament word, and it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I'm going to read that again. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. God's word is powerful and it's true. And we are blessed to be able to read it, to study it, to meditate on it, because there's some places in this world where you cannot read the Bible. It's against the law to quote scripture. It could be your death. But God, be able to look at this word, to see this word. Because there's somebody today that doesn't have eyes to see. And somebody today that won't be able to hear this word because they can't hear. We've got to trust God and stand on his word, because it's not about us. It is about him and getting his word out for as many people to hear it and see that the Lord is good and that his word is tasty. It's like a full course meal, including dessert. It has it all. There's no book more powerful than this book. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, this morning for his word and the fact that he loves us so very, very, very much. So let's get into our word this morning. Father God in heaven, we come to you today. Whew, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your children. That you woke us up this morning, that you started us on our way, that you gave us breath in our body and a sound mind. Father God, we ask that you increase as we decrease, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart as we move forward today will be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are our strength and our Redeemer. You are our Father. And Jesus Christ is our Savior. Father, if there is someone listening today that does not know Jesus, may they get to know him through this word this morning. I lift up your word, God. Your word. This basic instruction before leaving earth. And I ask you, Lord God, to give us clarity and understanding. As your word goes forth, let us have our aha moments today. And to know that this word will save our life. This word will give us eternal life if we live by it, if we study it, if we stand on it, if we love it. In In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up your word today, Lord God, thanking you for salvation, thanking you for hope in the future, thanking you for the breath in my body, thanking you, Lord, for waking me up this morning, giving me a do-over. I thank you. And again, Father, I'm grateful. And I know that I am blessed to be a child of God. And it's in, again, the name of the matchless Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who sits on the right side of your throne. My Savior, my friend, Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Whew, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm a little hoarse this morning. For some reason, a little congested, but I am all right. Because God is all right, and he woke me up. Hallelujah. Thankful. Whew, I keep saying it. Thankful. This morning, I didn't get a chance to get up in time for Morning Glory Nation, but it popped up on my screen. The word, I'm thankful for you, Philippians 1 and 3. And so I just say to all those at Morning Glory, I'm thankful for you as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Fred, for the word. And I will be going back to listen to it later. So thanking God for all of you moving forward, family, that tune in. I thank God for all of you that listen in on Facebook or Twitter. And those that just listen in via phone, I thank God for you. And if you would like to listen via phone, it is 213-943-3597. Again, 213-943-3597. Shout out to W Faith Ministry. I love you, ladies. Y'all absolutely rock. Hallelujah. Thanking God for you. At our meeting on Saturday, God has given me a little book, and it's 100 prayers and devotion, daily devotions. And I was walking out because I had an 8 o'clock meeting, and then I was going to the women's meeting afterwards, and God said, grab that. And so I grabbed it. I didn't know why at the time. And then when I got to the meeting, God said, let every woman pick a sheet. Just tear it out, pick a sheet. And what I found is that every woman's sheet was what they needed. And for those women that were not able to come on Saturday, I did it yesterday in fellowship with those that were able to come to our dinner after church. And again, every one of the scriptures pulled was what they needed. God, when you follow what God tells you to do, wow, he worked miracles. His heart, he fills us up. And I'm grateful that I got filled up. And our lesson on yesterday from my pastor, that we can't be have doubt. We just got to step out without doubt, knowing that our Father God is going to be with us wherever we go, that he's going to stand there and he's going to lift us up. He's going to walk with us. He's going to talk with us. He's going to be with us. So keep God first in all that we do, to watch it work in our life. Grateful again. I'm just filled up today. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And if we take that in our life and in our heart and in our spirit, everything will fall into place. Standing on the word of God. Ezekiel 7, verses 1, 8 through 18. Chapter 8 through 18. So we're going Ezekiel chapter 7 and chapter 8 this morning. And it says in the word of God, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eyes bear you, nor will I have pity, but I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, a singular disaster. Behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It has drowned. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. Did you catch that? The Lord's going to repay us according to our ways. Judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for your abominations. I don't want to be repaid. I don't want any abominations. Come on now. You don't want what that. Don't mess with God, because you don't want God to mess with you. Don't play with your word. Don't play with God. And it tells us in the word, the prophet is speaking this morning. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. Behold the day. Behold, it has come. Doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, none of their multitude, none of them, nor shall there be wailing for them. And you listening to this word, and you're like, this could be right now. This could be a today word. That's the one thing about Isaiah as we read, timeless. What do we have? Every violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. It has. Those that are serving and protecting, some have become the violent ones. Not all. I am a policeman's widow, a state policeman's widow. And I tell you, all policemen are not bad. Yes, there are some that should not be on the force, that sneak in. And some do not have the character to be on the force, but they sneak in. My husband carried in his wallet his entire career, an application to the Ku Klux Klan that he found on the range. Possibly some of his co-workers, the ones that were supposed to have his back, would be Klansmen. So he carried it as a reminder to be careful always. But again, none of them shall remain. God is going to clean house. He's cleaning house. We wonder why we go to church on Sunday, we look around, and certain people are no longer there. God is getting the tear out. He's pulling weeds. And most of the time, it's the folks that were the busybodies and those that were out there talking stuff and creating confusion within the body. God won't let us step back in, because God is making changes in the churches. And in some instances, the changes are the pastors. Stuff that had been done in the dark for centuries, for years, for decades, is coming to light. And pastors are stepping down because they covered it up. Instead of dealing with it, they covered it up. Because violence had come into the midst of the church, and they covered it up. Covered up abuse of children. Covered up abuse of the women of the church. Lying, cheating, and all kind of things within the body of Christ. And God is pulling off sheets. God is showing what's underneath them sheep's clothing. And we better understand that it's coming. And the word tells us the time has come. The day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn. For wrath is on their whole multitude. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive. For the vision concerns the whole multitude. It's all of us are being scrutinized and looked at by the Lord. And it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. For my wrath is on evil. Better beware. God's going to come and he's going to take control. Quit being mean and nasty, because I'm going to tell you, you will pay the price for it. Selfish and stingy, you will pay the price for it. Greedy and evil, you will pay the price for it. Abominations will be paid for. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. For my wrath is on all their multitude. The sword is outside and the pestilence and famine within. I better take a listen. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever is in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. Those who survive will escape and be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, each for his iniquity. Every hand will be feeble, and every knee will be as weak as water. They will also be girded with sackcloth. Horror will cover them. Shame will be on every face. Baldness on their heads. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuge. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them. In the day of the wrath of the Lord, they will not satisfy their souls, nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornaments, he set it in majesty, but they made from it the image of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore, I have made it like refuge to them. I will give it as plunder into the hands of strangers, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they shall defile it. I will turn my face from them, and they will defile my secret place, for robbers shall enter it and defile it. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. Again, it could be today. And we're talking thousands of years ago, but this word could be today. Therefore, I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses. I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest and counsel from the elders. The king will mourn. The prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do them according to their way and according to what they deserve. I will judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Don't play with God. Ezekiel chapter 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year and in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah, setting before me that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me. There, then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire from the appearance of his waist and down was fire, and from his waist and upward like the appearance of brightness like the color of amber. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate and the inner court where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provoked to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there north of the altar gate was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went and saw, and there every sort of creeping abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. In their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idol? But they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. God sees everything. He knows your dreams. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything. And he said to me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, women were standing there weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations in the east. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping. And he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? It is a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here. But they have sealed the land with violence, then have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will act in fury. My eyes will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry to me, to my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. And these are some life lessons from Ezekiel chapter 8. And it says this from Dr. Stanley. Says this, the scripture is this, I will do to them according to their weight and according to what they deserve, I will judge them. The Bible tells us that God keeps careful records of what we say and do and even think to make sure that everyone gets exactly his due at the final judgment. Daniel 7:10 and Revelations 20 and 12. When the time of God's judgment arrives, no amount of planning or scheming will be able to rescue a person who refuses to obey him. Nothing can stand in the way of God accomplishing his purpose. And we're going to go quickly over to Daniel chapter 7. And I'll be coming out of the Christian Standard Bible. Holman's Christian Standard Bible. for those words. So let me get to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. And it says this. And I'm going to actually go up to verse number 9. And it says this. It says, as I keep watching, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white like snow, and the hair of his head like white as wool. His throne was flaming fire. His wheels were blazing fire. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from his presence. Thousands upon thousands served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was convened, and the books were opened. And we're just going to keep on finishing this up. And we'll read it again when we get to Daniel, but this is for today. And it says, I watched them because of the sound of the arrogant words the horn was speaking. As I continued watching, the beast was killed and its body destroyed and given over to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was removed, but an extension of life was granted to them for a certain period of time. I continued watching in the night vision, and suddenly one like a son of man was coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was escorted before him. He was given dominion and glory and a kingdom so that those of every people, nation, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. And we know that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Ooh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And we'll get more into the life lessons of this chapter when we get to Daniel chapter 7. And now we're going to go over to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 says this. And we're going to, again, go up and get it all in context at verse 11. And it says, the great white throne judgment. Then I saw a great white throne and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by what was written in the books. Then the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each one was judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And everyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And I say today, we all want our name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And the word comes on, and it says in this life lesson, Ezekiel 8 and 3, the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem. Ezekiel gives us more vivid descriptions of the prophetic process than almost any other Old Testament prophet. God speaks to us uncounted ways, and we watch and listen, watching and listening. God is always watching and listening, and it's being recorded in the book. Ezekiel 8 and 17, it is a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here. Sin is never a trivial thing. We may get so used to some offense that it seems harmless and even inconsequential. But God's holy nature never changes. Sin never becomes acceptable to him. Psalms 120, verses 1 through 7, a song of ascent. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue, sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, and when I speak, they are for war. Proverbs 28:15, like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. I caught that, right? Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer under a wicked ruler. And we've seen it many a time in our world and in our nations. The rich get richer and the poor get poor because of wicked rulers. We got to pray for God to give us a righteous ruler and a righteous man in our nations, our righteous women in our nations. For God is in charge of who becomes in charge. But he sometimes put the wicked in charge to show you your character. Godly character. Or do you follow the wicked just because they're saying what you say and they look like you? Got to be very, very careful. Pray and pray some more. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And all I can say is, again, it is a great word, Hebrews chapter 4. And it says this, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard of it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day with all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying today in David, saying in David, today after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. God does not want our hearts hardened. And it says again, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing each to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And have to give an accounting. Just read it in Revelation. We will all have to stand before God. And when he opens the book of life, will you be in it? Will I be in it? Will our loved ones be in it? We pray daily, Lord, let me be in the book of life. Help me to do what you ask me to do and to do it without disobedience. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I thank God for his grace and his mercy. And I ask forgiveness if I have fallen short, because we all fall short of God's glory, but we have to get up, clean up, and ask God to give us strength to do better and be better. For he has not given us a, we have to love God as God loves us, without condition, with faith. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. For his word is true always, yesterday, today, and forevermore. As it says in this word for today, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And as we go in lessons for this morning, the first comes Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living and powerful, just what I just read. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. The Bible is not dead, but living. It lives both because God brought it into existence and because the Spirit of God brings its message to life in our hearts. It has God's power to provoke change in our lives. And I say, yes, it does. I thank God for this holy word. I thank God that he has given me this assignment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it says in Hebrews 4 and 15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And we are blessed that Jesus came into this world. It is a wicked, nasty world. As a man, that he was treated like a man, that he had the same situations as any one of us, temptations like we do, being mistreated like we are, lied upon like we are, talked about like we are, mistreated like some of us are. There's any person that has not gone through some type of mistreatment in our life. And if you have, then you're blessed. If you haven't, I should say you are blessed. Jesus came like us. He went through what we go through. He had to sleep. He had to eat. He had to do all the things that we do. Came a man. And this is what it says, because Jesus knows what it feels like to be tempted. He is sympathetic toward us. That is, he does not feel annoyed at our failures or exasperated with our struggles. He knows just how to move us on to maturity. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Hebrews chapter 4, 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. And Dr. Stanley says that God wants us to come boldly into his presence, not timidly or anxiously or in fear of how he might respond. He wants to help us, and he has all the grace we need to confront any challenge we may face. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. And we got to learn how to tell our problems about our God. We are blessed. And I believe it was Dr. Stanley that says this. If your problems can be all fixed with a check, don't have any problems. You don't have any problems. You need financial maturity and discipline. You don't have any problems. If a check can solve your problems, you have no problems. So you need to stop whining. We need to stop being whiny folks. And I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about anybody but myself. I can be whiny sometimes to God. But Lord, you know, God looks at, just shakes his head and says, I've given you everything you need. You just got to start working. Grace and his mercy for his goodness and for his kindness. Keep loving God, family. And watch him work in your life. And as we continue in this word, it says this, what the Bible says about finding confidence in God. Hebrews 4:15-16, which we just read, says God's people have only one way to face life confidently. After all, he loves us, has saved us from eternal death, and is committed to guiding us through every moment of life. God wants us to live confidently. But too often we allow feelings of personal inadequacy and unworthiness to derail our confidence. The Apostle Paul lived through horrendous circumstances, rejected by his Jewish peers, stoned, abandoned for dead, ridiculed, ignored, and often beaten and imprisoned for his devotion to Christ. But Paul continued to maintain a confident hope right up to the very end. How did he manage? People did not think he could face another day. He recalled one simple truth. I can. Say with me. Y'all know this. Philippians 4:13 word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to say that. Let's say that one more time together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He focused on his Lord's death as Jeremiah had. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Lamentations 3:23-24. Just read that not too long ago. And I want to say that one again, too. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. I hope in him. Lamentations 3:23-24. The classic hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, expounds on this important idea. Next time you sing it, don't miss the wonder of it. God is faithful and does not change. Hebrews 13:8. In this one truth, we find our reason for hope and unwavering confidence. God's unchanging nature teaches us that even when we feel unlovely, we remain beautiful to him. We can do nothing to change his love for us. It is unconditional and flows freely from his throne of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. If God decided to change who he is, every promise he has made would be in jeopardy. He would become untrustworthy. But the God is this. He loved us unconditionally yesterday. He loves us with the same love today, tomorrow. Do you trust him? Have you experienced a strong assurance that comes from placing your faith in his unfailing love? Roll the burden onto him. You will discover that you think great is thy faithfulness. Oh, I love that song. Morning by morning, new mercies I seek. Hallelujah. All that he does, and that he loves you without condition. He loves me without condition, but he is a faithful and loving Father who will never give us more we can handle. He will never give us more than we can bear. He will always be there with us to help us, to stand us up, to clean us up, to shake off the dust and help us to move forward. We got to keep God first in whatever we do, to watch and work in our lives. I can do all things through Christ. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my. Today, thanking God for his word, thanking God for each of you, thanking God for a wonderful day. And we got to believe and trust God's word and watch God working. And before we this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, from Carolyn's Gift, Sister Carolyn. And I do not have a word from Carolyn this morning yet. So we will have Carolyn's word on tomorrow. And I am looking and I don't see it this morning yet. But we will have it on tomorrow. And I thank again all of you for listening. And just when you go out this morning, keep this word in your heart. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And if we believe that, we remember that, everything else will fall into place. So I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent from each other. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed and have a wonderful and blessed day, knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God and that you are loved by him in every way, special to the Savior. But he came and died for you. And he came and died for me. So that he can give us understanding that we fall short. But that he is always there. When we fall, to pick us up, dust us off, and continue us on our way. Be blessed and have a wonderful day, family. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Time to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed.